Well, good morning.
Good morning. Yay, Kevin's back.
Yay, Kevin's back. Got to tell you something about Kevin's back, as in Kevin is back, not my back. So it is good to be back with you. We were not here last week. If you were here, we were not here. And I need to clarify something. Where is Pastor John?
I'm sorry, man.
No. I appreciate John being here and filling in for me when I'm not here, and appreciate him doing that. Give John a big hand here. He does a great job. Whenever Libby and I are out of town, on our way back into town, we listen to what John has to say for as long as we can listen to it, and then we... But what I did hear is John tell you that Libby and I were in Baltimore watching the Orioles play. What happened? Because the Orioles were in Cleveland playing the Indians. So we didn't go there.
By the way, it's the Guardians now. You know.
Then they're not the Indians? It doesn't matter. We weren't there. So John got my weekends mixed up. We were actually in Anderson, two of the boys, and I don't know how many grandkids we have up there now, 8 grandkids. We went there to see kids and grandkids, and we actually in... what is that? Hartwell, Georgia, they have a safari. I mean a legitimate safari. You go there, it's this wide open place of land. We rented a school bus, all the windows are broken out, and we had a driver take us through there, and the animals, the ostriches, can come up and you can feed them, and there's zebras and all kinds of animals. It was just an incredible time. It was a blast. It was 1 hour drive going through there. We just saw all kinds. The kids loved it. It was an absolute blast. So, John, next time we go, we'll take you so you'll know where we are. You can let folks know about that. All right? Now, we are going to go see the Orioles coming up really soon. I'll make sure John knows when that is. Okay? So we're glad you're here at Grace Point Church. We are very glad you're with us today. We're looking forward to our worship time. So we're going to give you a chance to say hello to somebody. You know where they are today, right there, right here. As we get started this morning... For our worship time, I want to share a verse with you that'll tie in a little bit to our message today. It comes from Psalm 139, verse 14, and it says this: God, I praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows that very well. I hope you let that verse sink deeply into your mind and into your heart. God, I praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, God. I am one of them. And my soul knows that very well. God, thank you that you made us. You, the God of the entire universe, you made us. You made us awesomely and wonderfully well. Nothing about us was a mistake when you created us. You took care of every detail of who we are. And because of that, we want to say thank you. And that we are grateful to be your creation. For that reason alone and for many more, God, we worship you and we bless you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. When Libby and I are gone on our way back, which is always on a Sunday traveling back, we listen to the message, which usually is John. That's okay to listen to. But we don't get a chance to hear the music as well. It doesn't come across as well, so it's good to be back to hear our music leaders, and we appreciate them. So very much. Today I'm going to be talking about 4 keys to effective living, and I want to read some verses for you. We're going to be looking at some verses in Hebrews chapter 11. Joe, do we have those verses up on the screen? I didn't have room on the outline to put them on the outline, so just watch the verses. Look through these verses as I read through them. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Beginning in verse 23, because of faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months. They saw that he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king when he said that all babies should be killed. Because Moses had faith, he would not be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he grew up. He chose to suffer with God's people instead of having fun doing sinful things for a while. Any shame that he suffered for Christ was worth more than all riches in Egypt. He kept his eyes on the reward God was going to give him. Because Moses had faith, he left Egypt. He was not afraid of the king's anger. Moses did not turn from the right way, but kept seeing God in front of him. Because Moses had faith, he taught all the Jews to put blood over the doors. Then the angel of death would pass over their houses and not kill their oldest sons. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is about ordinary people, everyday people like you and me. It's about ordinary people who accomplished extraordinary achievements. They weren't perfect. They often failed. But they ultimately reached their goal. So I want to look at Moses today. Moses is the guy who got the Ten Commandments from God. Moses is the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses is the one who led the children of Israel out of captivity and slavery in Egypt. Why was God able to take this person, Moses, and use him in such effective ways? I think it's because Moses settled some basic questions in his life. Look at this on your outline. If you don't have the outline open and ready for you, take it out now out of your bulletin and follow along. There are four questions that Moses settled in his life. We're going to look at these questions more in detail, but these questions were simple. He asked the first question, who am I? He settled that question. The next question, number two, what are my choices? The third question, what is really important? And the fourth question, what are my goals? He deals with these questions in these verses. And these are the four keys to effective living. No matter where you are in life, no matter how old, how young you might be, these are four questions that if you will answer them for who you are, where you are in life, and where God is in your life, and where he may be leading you, you can make your life an effective life. So the question that Moses asked first is, who am I? Who am I? The answer to that is what you need to do. You need to be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. God made you the way he made you for a purpose. He made you for a plan that only you can fulfill. There's nobody who can be you except you. Moses had to deal with this right off his life in the very beginning. He had an identity crisis. If you remember in the Old Testament, in Egypt, the baby Jewish boys were condemned to die. And so Moses' mother put him in this little boat in the Nile River, and it happened that the daughter of Pharaoh was taking a bath, and this little boy in this little boat came past her, put him in the palace, took him up, put him in the palace, and raised him as her own son. So Moses was at an identity crisis. He was born Jewish, but he was raised Egyptian. And he had to decide at some point in his life, who am I? And it was an important choice because it would determine the rest of his life. If he said, I'm Egyptian, and he faked his heritage, it would be a life of ease. He'd have an outstanding career. He would be in line to be the next Pharaoh. He would have fame and fortune. Who wouldn't be tempted to say, I'm Egyptian? But if he said what he really was, I'm Jewish, he would be humiliated, he'd be kicked out of the palace, sent to live with a bunch of slaves for the rest of his life. Yet Moses saw his people being badly mistreated as slaves, and he could not be silent. He was a man of character and integrity. He couldn't quell his conscience, and so he made a decision that cost him the next 80 years of his life. Look at verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Underline that word, refused. The word literally means to reject, to deny, to totally disown. Moses cut himself off from a promising career in Egypt. He refused to live a lie. He wanted to be the person that God created him to be. Folks, there's nothing more liberating about being yourself than being yourself. The quickest way to an ulcer is to try to be somebody you're not. You want to live an effective life? Step one is to relax and just be you. I guarantee you everyone in this room at some point in time has looked at somebody else and said, why can't I be more like them? Like him, like her. How come my family can't be more like that family? God only wants you to be like you. Miss Gladys Allward was a lady who eventually in her life became a missionary. Look at this picture of her. Prior to becoming a missionary, in her growing up years, she was unable to accept what she looked like. As a child, she had two great sorrows. One was that while she was growing up around all of her friends had beautiful golden blonde hair. Hers was black. The other was around her friends, who was continuing to grow, she stopped growing. She was 4 feet, 10 inches tall. They grew way beyond that. She had black hair and she was short. I think at 4'10", I'm not supposed to use the word midget. What was she? What did they call them now? Little people? Short. Oh, short. Really? Let me tear this page up so nobody would see what was on my notes. She was a short person with black hair. All her friends were taller with nice blonde hair. And she didn't like it. I mean, it really bothered her. She was called to missionary work, took the boat over there, and was very interesting. She said, when I stood on the wharf in Shanghai and looked all around to the people God had called me to, and this is her quote, every single one of them, she said, had black hair like me, and they stopped growing where I did. God knew exactly who she was going to go be with, people her same stature with the same color hair. God made her just the way he wanted to. And she finally accepted herself for who she was. Beyond that, God put her in a situation where she could work with children who were being rejected by anybody else. And on one occasion, she embarked on a taxing 12-day trip through the mountains with 100 children, trying to get them to an orphanage in Free China. They were being chased by Japan. Look at this picture, this little tiny lady who didn't like herself. All of those children right there that you see were saved. She didn't lose one child through the mountains that they had to go through. It took them forever to get there. And all because she accepted herself the way God made her. When you begin to accept yourself the way God made you, you will begin to live a more effective life. So be yourself. You know why? Because everyone else is already taken. Be yourself. Number two, you want to live an effective life? You have to ask yourself the question, this question, what are my choices? What are my choices? Look at verse 25 here. Moses chose. He made a choice to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Underline that word chose. He made a choice. The word literally means to select or to decide. And this is the second principle of an effective life. You need to accept responsibility for your own life. Don't play the blame game. Don't blame somebody else for your life. You accept responsibility for it. Don't say it's not my fault. You need to make a decision to change. The fact is, folks, we all have choices. I can make decisions in my life, and so can you. If God has given us the freedom to make those choices, He's given it to you, He's given it to everyone. And what we choose today will determine your tomorrow. It's called accepting responsibility. The Bible says that people who accept responsibility for their own lives tend to lead more effective lives. Look at this, verse 23. As a baby, God chose Moses. Look what it says here. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. God chose Moses as a baby. But when Moses grew up, Moses then had to make a choice for God. Folks, God have chosen you. Now you, I have to choose God. And that's not just a one-time choice when you make a commitment to Christ and give your heart to. That's a choice. That's the most big choice, the biggest choice, the wisest choice you can make is when you choose to follow God. But you make that choice every day. You become a child of God once, and then you're His child. But every day you've got to decide, I'm going to follow God this day, every day. You follow God. Look what it says in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he had grown up, one of the marks of maturity in life, folks, is to accept responsibility for your own decisions. Don't blame other people. Society loves to pass the buck. Blame him, blame her, blame the company, blame a corporation, blame society, blame a sibling, blame your parents, blame your children. Moses said, no, when I grew up, I accept responsibility for myself. Jerry was a fellow who seemed to always be in a good mood, always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would use that phrase, man, if I were doing any better, I would be twins. Did you ever meet somebody like that and want to slap them? No. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how he should just look on the positive side of the situation. One of his friends saw this style in his life early on, and one day he asked Jerry, he said, how do you do it? And Jerry said, each morning I wake up and I say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. And he said, I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something happens, bad happens, I can be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can accept their complaining or point to the positive side of life. I choose to point to the positive side of life. His friend said, yeah, it's that easy. He said, it really is that easy. One day as Jerry was closing up his restaurant, he was held at gunpoint by three armed robbers who shot him. They left after the shooting somehow. EMS got there, and after 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with some of the bullet fragments still inside of him. His friend caught up with him and just asked Jerry, how did you get through that? And Jerry replied, as I lay on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live. His friend asked him, weren't you scared? And Jerry said, I was. But the paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the emergency room, I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, and I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, he is a dead man. And I knew I needed to take action. He said there was a big, burly nurse shouting questions out. I like the big, burly nurses, right? They're the ones who get in there and take charge. Get out, I'm here. There was a big, burly nurse shouting questions at me. She asked if I was allergic to anything. And I shouted out, yes! And the doctors and nurses stopped working, and they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, bullets! Everyone laughed. And he said, I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not as if I'm dead. And he lived because of the skilled nursing and doctors who worked on him and because of his amazing choice to be positive. Every day we have choices that we can make that help determine who we are and how things go in our lives. And our character is determined by the choices that we make. Be yourself and accept responsibilities for the choices that make you who you are. Number three, the next question, what is really important? What is really important? We need to establish a value system for our lives. We have to settle this issue. What's really important? It's not something we just decide haphazardly. We need to give it serious thought. This is the very thing that Moses did. He clarified his values. In verse 26, look what it says. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Circle that word or underline that word, regarded. It literally means to weigh in the balance, to consider options, to evaluate worth, to consider value. It says Moses considered God's will of greater value than all the treasures in Egypt. It tells us we need to set up a value system. What are your values in life? What are the values on which you base your life? What are the values that make you say, these are the things that are most important to me. These are the things on which I'm going to base every decision that I make in my lifetime. And folks, I've discovered that if you don't determine what's valuable to you, other people will do it for you. If you don't decide how you're going to use your time, other people would decide how you're going to use your time. If you don't decide how you're going to spend your money, other people would decide how you're going to spend your money for you. You have to determine your values. So let's ask ourselves, from a Christian standpoint, what are the world's standards? There are three common values we see the world promoting. They've promoted it forever, and they still promote it today. Most of the people in the world are frantically searching for these three things in life. Number one, the value of pleasure. I want to feel good. The value of pleasure. Number two, possessions. I want to be wealthy. I want to have all the things I can have around me and the newest version of them. And number three, power. I want to be famous. I want to be well known. I want to be influential. I want to have power, prestige, and position in my life. Most of the world frantically search for these things. By the world standards, if you take those three things, when you look at Moses, he had it made. All three of them were wrapped up in the royalty of Egypt. Yet he walked away from it to live with a bunch of slaves. Who would be silly enough to do that? Somebody with a different value system. That's who. Moses realized that there were things that were more important than power, possessions, and pleasure. There's a lesson here in Moses' life that we need to focus on. When you establish a value system for your life, you have to learn to say no. Every time you choose something in life, you're automatically turning against something else that could have been in your life. You have to decide what is important. Have you noticed you don't have time for everything? You just don't have time for it all. When you say yes to everything, that's called compromise. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You have to decide what's important. And you must learn to say no if you're going to have an effective life. This is so important. I want you to notice the value system of Moses. Moses decided three things. If Moses had not made these decisions, we wouldn't be here today talking about Moses. He decided three things. Number one, he decided God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. In verse 24, it says this, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Do you think the title, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was a status symbol back in his day? You bet. He would have been second in command, in line to be Pharaoh of Egypt. He would have been the big man on campus. He would have been the big man at the pyramids. He probably would have had his picture in the Jerusalem Gazette. He was well known. He would have had status. People would have bowed down to Moses. But Moses knew that popularity doesn't last. You can be the most popular person. You can get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone this week, and a year from now, people won't even know your name. You can be replaced by the latest fad. And if you know the names of Addie Joss, Charlie Robertson, Lee Richmond, or John Ward, all of them in Major League Baseball pitched perfect games, and none of you know who they are. You know how many perfect games have been pitched in all of Major League Baseball's? Maybe 20. And none of us could name one of them without going to our little phones and getting on the internet. And yet when they pitched them, everybody knew who they were. Elbridge Gerry, Daniel Tompkins, Richard Johnson, William King, Levi Morton. Really? All vice presidents of the United States of America, and we don't even know their names. We don't have a clue who they were. The thing I like about Moses is he wasn't very impressed with himself. He humbly became who God wanted him to be. He knew God's purpose in his life was much more valuable than popularity. Moses wanted God's purpose. Moses said, "I'd rather be a slave fulfilling God's purpose than to be the king of Egypt." Purpose is more valuable than popularity. We need to know that in order to live an effective life. Number two, another thing Moses knew, that people are more valuable than pleasures. Look at this verse 25. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. I wonder, given this situation, how we would react. Moses chose pain over pleasure. He chose discomfort over ease. Why? Because he said, people are more valuable than pleasures. He was on easy street. He was treated royally. It was his lifestyle of luxury. Whenever he wanted, whatever he wanted, everything was right there for him. But Moses heard the cries of people that he said are more important than his pleasures. In order to do the right thing, he chose discomfort over comfort. Why? Because he knew that pleasure like popularity doesn't last for any significant period of time. It goes away. Moses said he'd go with the people of God because people are more important than comfort, than pleasure. And number three, God's peace is more important than possessions. There are some things in life that are more important than things. There's a wonderful peace of mind that comes about you, a satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment, when you know you are smack dab in the middle of God's will. There's more peace than anything else can bring you when you know that. You can't buy peace of mind. But when you are living the will of God in your life, you can't get that anywhere else, that sense of peace. Look at verse 26. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give him. Folks, you cannot purchase lasting happiness. We think the Constitution says life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. It's not what it says at all. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you buy happiness? Oh, sure. No. I disagree. You can buy happiness for a little bit of time, but it doesn't last. I want a boat. And I'm convinced if I went out and got a boat, Libby and I would like a boat, we'd be happy with a little John boat for a while. And then what would we want, Lib? We'd want a bigger boat because we'd get tired of that little John boat. We'd want a little bigger boat, maybe get up to like an 18-footer with a little big motor. And then what would happen? Well, man, if we got just a little bit bigger boat, then we could do a little bit of a tubing behind us, and then a bigger boat because we got a lot of grandkids. And before we know it, you get where I'm going? Yeah. Maybe you want to go hunting, so we'd start out with a little gun. You see where I'm going? You can buy happiness, but for just a little while, and then you want more and more, and it doesn't last. Can you get peace of mind from what God gives you if we follow his will? Yeah, and that can last. Moses said, I don't want pleasure. I don't want possessions. They don't last. So does that mean you should just sell everything and live in poverty? No. God never said there's anything wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with having money if God gives you money in your life. We should use them the way God wants us to and just not hoard everything up for ourselves. So long as we're being the people that God wants us to be and using the things he gives us the way God wants us to do, to bless ourselves, but to bless others, to do his kingdom's work, to realize that God's peace is more valuable than any possession. It's amazing that Moses gave up the very three things that most people want to spend their entire lives trying to accomplish and achieve. Why did he reject power, pleasure, and possessions? Look at verse 26. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses was looking ahead. This word, looking ahead, in the Bible means continuous action. It's not something you looked ahead and then that's it. You're continually looking ahead for what God is wanting you to do. And that leads to the fourth question, number four. You have to ask yourself, to live an effective life, you have to ask yourself the question, what are my goals? What are my goals? And then you never, never take your eyes off the goal. You have a goal that you're aiming for, never take your eyes off the goal. Verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. It says he was looking ahead beyond the here and now, and it was continuous action. He kept on looking. He was a man of vision. He had eyes of faith. He continually visualized his goal. He was persistent. He focused his attention. He constantly kept it before him. Why should I do? What should I do? Why should I do it if I want to live an effective life? Because we never make progress without problems. Never. There were enormous problems in the purpose that God had given Moses. How was he going to transport 2 million Jews out of one country across the most desolate piece of land in the world without food and water? How is he going to do that and get them into the promised land? How are you going to convince Pharaoh, who had these 2 million people, these 2 million slaves, to let them go? There were enormous problems in the purpose that God had given Moses. But he persevered. He didn't have all the questions answered, but he knew what God wanted him to do, and he'd said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to persevere. God's purpose for your life is always greater than the problems in your life. And the problems that you're facing now probably have some form of an eternal purpose. They have long-range benefits. If you look at the long-range benefits, you're not going to let those problems discourage you very long. I think if you had to summarize Moses' life in two words, you'd summarize it with the phrase, he endured. What did he endure? 2 million spiritual babies crying for food, griping every day. He put up with all kinds of complaints. More than anything else, Moses had to learn to wait. There were tremendous delays in Moses' seeing the fulfillment of his goal. When Moses was a young man, God gave him a goal, said, you're going to deliver an entire nation. But it took 80 years to be the deliverer of that nation. 80 years. In coming before Moses was able to take his people right up to the edge of the promised land. How would you like to wait 80 years before God brought about what he said he called you to do? 80 years. Are you kidding me? I can't even wait 8 days. Weeks if I'm lucky. Months, I'm out of there. No way. I can imagine every day saying, Lord, it's me again. God, next day. Lord, it's me again. 79 years. Lord, it's me again. God, don't you think we should get with it? Hearing the same response every time. Not yet, Moses. Not yet. For 14,600 days, Moses would say, is it time? And God would say, not yet. One of the greatest tests of faith, fill this in on your outline, is how long can I wait? How long can I wait? How long can I wait for an answered prayer? How long can I wait for healing? How long can I wait for a goal to be met? How long can I wait before I get discouraged? Folks, God can work through you. You just need to be yourself accept responsibility for your decisions, set up a godly value system for your life, and never take your eyes off the goal. This applies to our church. Like Moses, we need to learn to wait. In some ways, I thought that our church would be a little bit further along than we are right now. In renovations, I thought we'd be a little bit further along than we were now. I'm just being honest. I really did. We've done some good things, but we've got a lot more to do, and I thought we'd be further along. I'm like, come on, God. You created the world. What, you can't handle renovating a church a little faster than this? I thought we'd be further along in increasing our baptisms. I wanted us to use the baptistry more often than we have, and I'm like, come on, God. You know I want to retire soon. Did you ever hear God laugh at you? He laughed at me. I'm like, dude, what's up? I don't think that's funny. Apparently, I say stupid things to God sometimes, and I'm learning he just laughs at me. But as a church, we just need to stay faithful. We just need to keep on doing what he's called us to do, and in his timing, which isn't always our timing, go work this stuff out. All right? All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you're gracious with us, and we do want to be more effective in the way we live individually and as a church. Thank you for reminding us through the life of Moses that there are some things we can do, some ways we can avail ourselves to you, so that you can use us in a way that will make us become more effective in our lives, to be used by you, to bless others, to grow, to worship, to lead. As well, not just for us as individual people, but as our church as well. So show us today, Lord, where we can find a little area that we can say, God, grow me in this, fix in this part of me that needs fixing. God, help me to be more faithful in this, whatever that might be. And there may be some things, Lord, that have nothing to do with what we talked about today, but there are many ways you've been working in our lives and even in the life of our church that you've been speaking to us about that we need to commit to, we need to respond to, maybe some things that we need to repent of, just tell you that we're sorry. Maybe some ways that you've been speaking to us and it's time for us to say, okay, Lord, here am I. I'll obey you. Maybe we need to turn to you in that way. This time we give to you, Lord, is your time and our time to respond to you. So bless it. Lead us through it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
A couple of quick words. Number one, wasn't it good to have somebody back this week? Jason, good to have Libby back with us. And it's been exciting. Kevin, you will have to, you know this, things are off kilter just a little when Kevin's not here. I said the closing prayer last week before the last song. So I was like, oh boy, what are we going to do now? So we went ahead and sang though, didn't we? Real quick, and a big thank you to everybody. Listen to this. For the school supplies that came, you know, the gifts that came in for school supplies, over $1,500 came in. And those that are good at math can tell me the answer to this. A packs of paper had 150 sheets. There were 336 packs of paper, 600 glue sticks, and 3,000 pencils for students all across the area. So, yeah, give yourselves a hand for helping out as we get the school supplies out. The next James Allen Outreach is August 29th. Mark that down. And then the other couple announcements are for youth. For our teenagers, for 6th through 12th graders or college folks, This Tuesday, we're going to be right here at Grace Point. It's kind of a back-to-school gathering. We'll get out a little bit early because, you know, school's back in Tuesday, right? Somebody told me not to say that. I probably shouldn't have said that. But pray for school, pray for teachers. And then on August 25th, we are starting a brand new ministry called GPS, Grace Point Students. So get excited about that and share that as well. All right. Kevin, what else? Good to have you back, man. Glad you're here. When do you see the Orioles? Now we got to know, man. Down the road. Now I can pray. All right. Closing prayer time. And you guys have a great week. We'll see you back here this week. Tuesday night for youth. Next week we'll worship together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of challenge to see the keys that you have laid out for successful living. Help us to remember the goals in our heart and our life. As school begins, help our students to set goals, to strive for those things that you've called them to do. For us as parents and grandparents, teachers, help us through this year, Lord, as we reach those goals. We pray it all now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.